I'm just I'm in this phase where I need to look for a guru, and it's hard for me to chant 16 rounds. So, and like, what would you prescribe, or what would you advise me to, like, what are my steps?
You're asking about the possibility of finding a guru without chanting 16 rounds?
No, but like, some tips, how can I like get stronger in Krishna consciousness and everything?
Okay, that's a pretty open-ended question. How can I get stronger in Krishna consciousness? You say you're looking for a guru.
Exactly.
Well, let's go through it one at a time. First thing is that everything is individual. Certain spiritual societies have different standards for initiation or whatnot. But what we find here in India, the standards are a little different in some ways, in detail, but not in principle. Obviously, every guru wants the disciple to follow a moral life. They have to be moral and religious. And because I've seen, including my own guru, Indian people come and he initiates them, and never once there was any discussion about four regulative principles. I don't think you encounter that either. That idea that we, the four regulative, it's just formally a four regulative principles in 16 rounds. Obviously, these regulative principles have some basis and they're helpful, and any seriously minded spiritual person would try his best to follow those four principles. But the main thing is, because bhakti has nothing to do with so much of all those things. Bhakti is a mood of devotion, a mood of submission, a mood of humility and pridelessness and interest to serve God. And it doesn't necessarily have to take a mechanical or a given shape. For example, my Gurudev, Pandit Sri Krishna's Babaji Maharaj, I see that some people come there and he says, "So you're chanting japa?" And I said, "Yes, I'm chanting." "How many rounds?" "Oh, I'm working, I'm busy, this, that." And then my Gurudev, he says, "Well, try to chant as much as you can, but at least 4 rounds. 4 rounds. But not that least becomes most. That means least. So therefore, the threshold of eligibility for receiving diksha is immediately different. And I never, as I said, I never heard him say the four regulative principles and these type of things. So obviously, if we chant a lakh a day, that's very good. But the whole idea of bhakti is all about humility. It's not a numbers game. It's a transformation of heart and mind. And because we may do get into numbers, and with numbers comes pride. We've got, "Oh, I'm doing 1 lakh. Oh, how many? Oh, I only do 4 rounds. Oh, you're no good." You're only doing 4 rounds. You're no good. There's no high and low. No one can see the content of devotion of another person's heart. And you can't measure a person's bhakti by numbers of rounds or how many times you've been a Mangal Artik or how many times you read the Gita. It's a very broad highway. So here, outside in this amongst this greater Gaudiya Sampradaya, like the Radharaman Goswamis, they're also Gaudiya Sampradaya. I know some of those Goswamis there. And they play, it's the same way. They expect their disciples to be moral, and they, because everyone is so frequented or so familiar worldwide with these kind of four principles. So generally, these gurus that I know from that temple, they say, "In some movements they have the four regulative principles. This is very good. You should try to follow these and chant and live a regulated life." They give a reasonable requirement for initiation, which kind of opens the door to more people to get on board, I mean, to take part. Because, "Oh, I'm only chanting 4 rounds, 4 rounds." Okay, how many people are chanting any rounds? How many people are chanting any rounds at all or have any mind for God? Chanting rounds is one measurement of your mind going toward God, but there's more than just that. moving throughout the day. Maybe you're a working man or a musician or whatever. So it's very much, the gurus feel, oh, you're coming to me, you're surrendering to me, you have faith in me, and so are you a good person? You seem to be a good person. And are you chanting? Yeah, I'm chanting four rounds. Well, can you chant more? I'll try. Okay, good. And then you don't feel like, oh, you know, I'm never going to make it. If I don't get the 16, I can't get in the club. You know, I'm getting a cutoff point. It's not like some, trying out to get some position in some university. There's a cutoff. If you don't make, in this exam, if you don't score 600 points or whatever, they have these things, then you miss it. Then you're driving a taxi in Moscow, you know, because you can't get the college education. It's not like that. When you finally find, you know, the proper teacher, then you didn't even do it. You didn't arrange it. It just comes. And his so-called free will, which I don't believe in myself at all, but his free will and my free will, we made a plan. Okay, you know, we'll just, you know, meet and then think and then I just... And I know other people that know Gurudev for many years. He hasn't initiated them, Indians. So it's very hard to know. So I don't be scared or afraid. There's so many great, wonderful teachers in the Braj, spiritual teachers, gurus. And don't be afraid about, you don't feel you have any, you don't have any inadequacies. You're a human being, you're a gentleman, you're very sincere. And everything, see, on your own you're doing four rounds. There's no Guru Kripa. This is just your own. What does your own mean? It means the blessings of Krishna. As Krishna says, Atastri Krishna Namadi, Nabhaved Grahamindri, Sevan Mukhei Jivara, Swayamiva Spuratyada. We don't chant the holy name. The holy name Spuratyada. Spurti means manifest. If Krishna is pleased, because somehow we develop a service attitude by Krishna's mercy, he turns our mind towards God. Oh, I'm suffering. Oh, it's terrible. I want to improve myself. How can I find God? How can I serve God? How can I love God? Somehow, Krishna turns our mind this way. We even, this type of thinking, only a few people in the whole world have this type of thinking. That 80%, 90% of the people are Gnostic. That means atheists. They don't think about God. I'll finish all my work myself. So you're that rare percentage. So Krishna has made that arrangement. So now he's given you, he's inspired you and given you the power to chant four rounds of japa every day or every other day, whatever, whenever you can. This is a very big installment of mercy from Krishna. So that you're successful. You're not in a negative position. Your position is positive. You're in a positive position because you're a kripa patra of Krishna's mercy. You receive so much mercy from Krishna already. So on your own, you're able to do that, but you can't get out, you can't do much more, because Krishna wants you to get linked up with Guru Shakti. Guru Shakti means Kripa Shakti. The Guru is the Kripa of Krishna. Krishna is unlimited Kripa, but he gives his mercy through the Guru. So when you take shelter of the Guru, then you'll see that now it may be hard to do four rounds, or maybe, okay, four rounds. But then, as per his instruction, you will chant more or only four or whatever he says. And then with his mercy, you'll see how your bhakti latte will grow and develop more and more. Because bhakti really begins when we receive from guru, when we take diksha. This is beginning of bhakti. This is bhakti, but bhakti before guru is called bhakti abhas. Unlike some people have written, they call this sukriti. This is not correct. So I wish you the best. And I'm sure you have your friend, your guide here. He'll bring you to the feet of your master. This is a frankincense and myrrh in the evening time. It's for mosquitoes and very auspicious also. Frankincense and myrrh. It's called Google. Google is an Ayurvedic herb also. Google.
But some sukriti we need.
In other words, what I just want to say this, is that when one is practicing bhakti, he's doing hearing, chanting, offering food, and he has no guru, that's not sukriti. Bhakti is always bhakti. Now, as we know, as you know, from Bhagavatam and third canto, Kapila Shiksha talks about karma mishra bhakti. You've heard these terms. Gyan mishra bhakti, shuddha bhakti, different levels. But bhakti is bhakti. It's transcendental. It's Krishna, it's ladini shakti in a minute way. Ladini shakti and samvit. the ability to feel joy, bliss, happiness, and the power to know something, to know God. So I'm a new bhakta. I don't follow any principles. I'm vegetarian. I'm in a kirtan and a Sunday feast. I don't know if they have that, but anywhere in America. And I'm dancing in kirtan or a haina. I'm experiencing bliss. That's real bliss. That's bhakti. That's a drop. Bhakti is a drop from the ocean of prem. Ladini Shakti is Radharani Sarup. So she's an ocean of unlimited bliss and love, Mahabhava. So when even I don't have a guru, and that drop of bhakti is like, you know, some chemicals are so powerful, you take a drop and put it on a piece of paper, you know, and you swallow it, and you don't know what happens after that, if you know what I mean. So the drop of bhakti, it creates such a transformation. Even if somebody that's not following principles, not japa, doesn't have any beads. He comes for the Sunday feast, jumps up and down for a half hour in kirtan, and he says, you know, I just really like that Krishna thing. It's really great, and I feel so good. You know, the food tastes so good. Why don't you join? No, no, I can't. Well, that's, you know, why don't you change up? No, no, but once a week, it's good. You know, it's like health treatment, you know, like a fast, you know. I feel really good. So this is very good. Because that's what it says. Guru gives the bhakti lata bij. Krishna gives bhakti, we're doing bhakti abhas. Then, because we have Krishna's mercy, we're doing bhakti abhas, we're practicing bhakti, but that bhakti will not take us to prema. That bhakti, if we get more mercy, will take us to lotus feet of Guru. Then Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. Brahmanda Brahmate Kaum Bhagyavana Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. So we're wandering. Then Krishna says, Kaun Bhagyavan. Bhagyavan, Bhagya means fortune. Van means possess. And Kaun means who. Who, how, where, when. We don't know. Why you? Why you from Croatia and not the other 40 million people in Croatia or whatever? Or you or whatever? It's Bhagavan. Bhagavan's Kripa. That's the first installment of Kripa. Yeah, I mean, Kripa means it's always causeless. Otherwise, it's not Kripa. They say like that, Ahoitika Kripa, but it's just to emphasize the fact, but technically just to split hairs. Because if you do something to get it, that's karma. You do good karma, you get good reaction. Action, react, you know, you do good, you get good. But you don't do anything. Mercy means you're not the cause.
Undeserved.
Yeah, it's not deserved and you're not the cause. You can't make it happen. So we say Ahoitika Kripa. Like my friend, he wrote a book in Hindi about some sadhu he associates with, and he brought me the copy. I said, why do you call it Ahoituki Kripa? I mean, it emphasizes the fact that the Kripa itself is causeless. You understand? If I get mercy, like someone comes and says, oh, you look like a skinny, poor guy, you know, so here's $100,000. I don't even know who it is. That's Kripa. he just causelessly you got. So when you get the mercy of Guru, then he gives the seed of bhakti. Then that seed will go to prema by the mercy of Guru. If not this life, then next life. Not two lifetimes, three lifetimes. Not much. Now we're lucky we live to be 80. Next life, next time around, we're lucky we live to be 70. Next life, you're lucky to be 60. So 60 and 70, 80, it's like, you know, not much time. That's why Narottam Das and also Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Kita Janma Hao. Bahirmukh, Brahma Bahirmukh. Kita Janma Hao. He says, if I take a janma, if I take a birth as a kita, as an insect, I don't mind if it's in the house of a devotee. It's in the house of a devotee. But if I take birth as Brahma with his Bahirmukh, he has four faces and he's busy in Satyaloka, in Brahma Loka. He's not looking at Krishna. He's busy listening to stutis, but he has to sit there in that post for 311 trillion years. Anyway, he hears Harikata and Vishnu stuti, and so many sages come and discuss during Chaturmasya. All the demigods go to sleep except Brahma, and Brahma and all the rishis and the yogis that don't sleep much anyway, they all come to Brahma Loka and they sit with him and they speak Harikata for 4 months of our time, which is 8 hours of his time. Their 8 hours is our 4 months. So everybody else is snoozing for 8 hours with Brahma's hearing Harikata from all the rishis. So it's all auspicious. Somehow that Kaun Bhagyavan is you. And if you're born in such a good thing. If you're born in Brahma's position, you have to wait 311 trillion years. But you can take a guru now, and then in 150 years, 180 years, you go to Krishna. That's not a bad deal. And what are we? What is our birth? We're all, you know, kind of not so hi-fi, you know. Our births were pretty low. Maybe you're a young man, maybe you're born in a devotee family. That's wonderful. That does not apply to you. But for many of us unfortunate souls that don't have that great fortune, we came in after some time, we got the mercy of Krishna. Hare Krishna.